Welcome to Pesach Sheni. And for all the people that came late from Second Chances, Pesach Sheni is for people with Second Chances. What's Pesach Sheni? What is Pesach Sheni? Pesach Sheni, let me tell you a little bit about what it says in the Torah. Pesach Sheni. It's a very chiddush. The whole concept is a tremendous chiddush. What happened was that there was two people possibly, that for some reason were tame. And since they were tame, they were not able to bring the Karban Pesach. And it was very exciting to bring the Karban Pesach. They just came out of Mitzrayim. They wanted to bring the Karban Pesach the next year. And they weren't able to bring the Karban Pesach because they were tame. For a good reason, they were tame. And they're very sad they couldn't bring the Karban Pesach. So you know what happened? They come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? We're going to lose out. We're going to lose out. Why? Because we can't bring the Karban Pesach. They did a good thing, but they feel like they're losing out. So please give us another option and help us bring the Karban Pesach. Now, the question is, so asks Rav Nosson Vachtogel, I don't understand. Come on. Pesach is over. Pesach, the Karban Pesach was brought on Yud Dalid Nisan. After Yud Dalid Nisan, there is no Karban Pesach. What are we asking? So we could bring a Karban Pesach a month later? That doesn't make sense. And he asks, the way he asks is, can you imagine someone who wasn't feeling well, who wasn't able to shake the lulav on Sukkot, and he's going to come on Hanukkah, and he's going to say, hey, I want to shake the lulav because I wasn't able to do it. It's not my fault, Rebbe, it's not my fault. Imagine doing incentives in the summer. It's over. You can't do these things later. Something that doesn't happen, it has no pshat. It doesn't have a pshat to bring a Karban Pesach afterwards. What are they asking? The question makes no sense. That's how Rav Nosson phrases the question. Now, Rav Nosson brings down, and I saw other people, the Alter von Kelm. Let's see how he looks at this type of question. It's a Kelm away. There's a Medrash. The Medrash says as follows. I'll read you a Medrash, or I'll read part of the Medrash. It says as follows. Hashem, when he created the world, he looked back, he stood back, and then he looked at the whole world. He looked at us, and he looked at other people, and he looked at the generations before and generations after. And you know what he saw? He saw Masehem Shel Tzadikim, and he saw Masehem Shel Rishoim. I guess what I would look at is the good deeds and the bad deeds. And he said, on the Masehem Shel Rishoim, it says, Soyhu Vavoyu. That's how it was. Soyhu Vavoyu is emptiness. It's nothingness. That's how the world is, and it's not a good world. And then, he also saw, the Medrash says, he saw Or. It says, Yihi Or is Elu Maseyem Shel Tzadikim. Okay, that's pretty obvious. What's good, what's not good. It's obvious to me, maybe. But Hashem says, I'll read it for the Medrash. Avol Eini Yodea, Hashem is saying, Eini Yodea, I do not know, Be'eze Mehem Chafetz, which one I like more. Im B'maise Elu, the Im B'maise Elu. Do I like more the Maisim of the Tzadikim, or do I like more the Maisim of Rishayim? We can't figure it out from the Pasuk, and Hashem didn't know. And then you know, Kivan Diksiv, once he wrote in the Torah, Vayar Elokim Es Ha'or Ki Tov. Remember, Or is Maisim Shel Tzadikim. Vayar Elokim Es Ha'or Ki Tov. Havi B'Maisim Shel Tzadikim. Oh, so now we figured out that Hashem likes the Maisim Shel Tzadikim. Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbeinu Shalom, that's crazy. I mean, it has no pshat. How could we have a tzad to say that Hashem likes more Masehem Shel Rishayim, and we need a pasuk to tell you not that way? What's the pshat? Zok the Alter von Kelm. Pashit. Masehem Shel Rishayim, Averis, we're not talking about that bachal. We're not talking about Averis. We're talking about the mitzvahs of the Rishayim and the mitzvahs of the tzaddikim. Nice. I still think that it's not going to answer the question. Obviously, the mitzvahs of the tzaddikim are better mitzvahs than the mitzvahs of the Rishayim. So he explains. A Rasha, how does a Rasha do a mitzvah? Rasha, he doesn't really have so much meaning to the mitzvah. We just said, on Pesach, Moha Avoida Azir Sachem. The mitzvah is not so important to him. He's not so excited about doing the mitzvah. He does a mitzvah. You know, when you have a big mitzvah, he does pikuach nefesh, and he's saving people's lives, and he's doing big things, and he makes sure people hear about it. It's amazing. Sometimes they do tremendous stuff. But it's not ideal. It's not the best type of mitzvah, but it's a tremendous mitzvah. Tzaddikim also sometimes will do big, big mitzvahs that also save people's lives. But that's not what Maseim Shel Tzaddikim are. Maseim Shel Tzaddikim are even small mitzvahs, mitzvahs that you don't necessarily understand, mitzvahs that you're just doing because Hashem said to do that. And even if you don't really see the great benefit you can get out of it, it's only small, maybe I could have done, it's not so important, but Tzaddikim do that. Now, why do Tzaddikim do that? Because they care, because they're real, because it's important to them to do the Ratz in Hashem. So says the Medrash, there's a Chashuv Medrash, you have a choice of liking, what Hashem likes more, a tremendous mitzvah without so much meaning, without so much pnimius, without so much ratzin, or even a small mitzvah, but it's leman Hashem, it's because I want to do it, I feel good about it, I know it's right. Says the pasuk, Vayar lekim es ha'or ki tov, or the or inside, the light, the good feeling. When you have a good feeling when you do a mitzvah, you do it because you know it's right. That changes me. That makes me into a better person. That's the mitzvah that Hashem loves. And that's one thing that we're going to go for. Says the Alter von Kelm, that's a pshat, and these guys that came, I'm tamei, please give me another chance to do the Pesach. So, that doesn't make any sense. Pesach is over. You can't bring a Karban Pesach. They didn't ask to do any other mitzvah. Why? What's the pshat? Because this was such an important mitzvah to them. And it didn't make any sense. It didn't make sense for them to ask for another time to do Pesach. But you know what? They cared so much and they figured they'll just ask. And they asked. And you know what Hashem answered? I will change the mitzvahs. I will make you be able to do things that it's impossible to do because you want to do it. If you care so much, even though it doesn't make sense, I'm going to change the mitzvah of the mitzvah. The mitzvah was only one time. Not only for now, forever and ever. If you care, if you want, you will have the ability to do things you never thought you were able to do. As you said, Pesach Sheni. Okay, let's move on. Now let's go to the next, it's a special week. I'm saying we have Pesach Sheni, and we have another Eloi Yontif. Ask of Shmuel about it. Shmuel Leib. Let's talk a little bit about Shmuel Bar Yochai. This is a story, Zohar. We're gonna do some Zohars. I don't learn Zohar regularly. Just this week. This is a Zohar week. The story of the Zohar goes as follows. Rabbi Yitzchak, I actually think. Well, I was thinking it over. I think if someone remembers, right outside the Kever, there's Rabbi Yitzchak. Right outside in Meiron, there's Rabbi Yitzchak. I think this is the Rabbi Yitzchak. So let's try to figure out who he was. He was a Talmud of Shmuel Bar Yochai. And he's walking on the street one lonely day, walking all by himself, and a poor guy, Ani, who was a poor guy, and Ani came over to him and he says, can you please give me money? I don't have anything to eat, not for me and not for my family. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, I really want to help you. Here, I only have a half a ma. With a half a ma, you can't buy anything. If you want it, you can have it, but I would love to give it to you. I would love to help you, but this is all I could give you. Says the Ani, no problem. You saved my day, because I also have a half a ma. If you give me this half a ma with the half a ma that I have, I'll be able to buy food for me and for my family. He keeps on walking. End of the story. Continues his way. Rabbi Yitzchak, the Talmud of Shmuel Bar Yochai, keeps on walking. He went to sleep that night and he had a little dream. In the dream, he sees that somehow or another he was on a boat and it got shipwrecked. And he was in the water and the waves were very strong. There was whirlpools and he was about to drown. And it was very scary. And he didn't know what to do. And he was trying, he's trying to get to the shore, and then he sees on the shore, he sees Shmuel Bar Yochai. Come, get me. He's trying to lean out. He can't reach him and he can't get there. And he's trying and he's losing breath and he doesn't have kayach anymore. And all of a sudden, all of a sudden, for, out of nowhere, this ani, this ma'a, half a ma'a ani, appears, holds his hand, and reaches to Shem Vayechai, and pulls them together, and then saved through that ani. That's the story. That's the story of Shem Vayechai, Reb Yitzchak, and the ani. What do we see from the story? It's mamish, the exact same yisoid. What you see from the story is that it's those small things that you could do, and you might not even understand what the purpose is. What are you giving a guy, a half a penny, a half a ma, or something that's less than a pruta? You can't do anything with. It doesn't make sense. But you're doing it because you want to do it, because you want to help, and this is all that I could do. That might save you. That might bring you closer to the Heilige Reb Shimon, to your Rebbe. That's gonna lead you, and he's here to save you. But sometimes we have to do a little more. Just being the way we are and only doing the big things is not going to help. It's sometimes you have to do something that you don't understand, something that it's just that much more. I want to know, my shaila is like this. Now, how does this have to do with Reb Shimon Bar Yochai? What, this, very nice. Why is this story with Reb Shimon Bar Yochai? I understand the Yitzchak was a good thing and it makes sense. What does this have to do with how we understand who and what Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is? So maybe we'll try to, there's a, if you want, if the Elam is into it, we could sing. Bar Yochai, not Nimshach Tachshecha. There's another stanza in Bar Yochai. If the Elam can maybe help me translate these words, okay? You want to sing it? No. Okay. Ulistei Tapuchim. Bar Yochai, Ulistei Tapuchim. What does that mean? What? To the field. Stay, sadeh, field of apples. Alisa, lil kait boi merchakim. What does it mean? Alisa? Lil kait boi merchakim. I think it means he went into there. Why did he went into the, he went into the orchard of apples. For what reason? To find like treats. What kind of treats are you going to find in a apple tree? Apple tree? I don't know. Climb the apple tree? I don't know if the other one was here. You were here when we climbed the apple trees? No? The sukkahs? No? What? First year? Okay, that was a very fun trip. Okay. Okay. Who broke their foot? Who broke his foot? Okay. Okay. Anyways, so there's not much to do in an apple orchard. What kind of treats are you finding in an apple orchard? So it continues. That's the chare end of one part of the stanza. Continues the song. Soid haTorah, the Soid haTorah, the depths of the Torah or the secrets of the Torah. Ketzitzim uprachim are like I think tzitzim are buds, uprachim are flowers. End of another thing. Then it says Nase Adam never nemar bavurecha. Nase Adam, we will make Adam, Nemar is said Bavrecha because of you. To explain that, Nase Adam, Hashem said before he created Adam, Hashem said, Naase Adam, let us make man. And that is said for you. In other words, you are the man that God was talking about when he said, Naase Adam. So there's a bunch, I could explain the whole thing, it would be nice, but let's just talk the beginning and the end. What's an apple orchard have to do with it, Shem Vayechai? Apples. He went into apples to find goodies and apples. Then he got into Soy Torah. Then it says, Nasa Odom Nema Bavurecha. The Hashem said that he's going to make man for you. This is the epitome of man. This is the highest level of man, and it's made for you. So, I would say as follows. Comes from we'll do Zohar again, okay? Zohar, you ready? So the Zohar says that Nasa Adam, let us make a man. So there's a Rashi, Hashem asked the Malachim. Nasa Adam means that Nasa, the whole world, should come together, everything should come together and make man. You got that? Everyone together to make one man. In other words, all the animals, all the trees, all the stars, the moon, everything should make man. The fish in the sea, we're creating man. What does that mean? How does that work? So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in Kovitz Ma'amarim explains as follows. What does it mean that everyone's going to make man? So there's a question that I think I once spoke a little bit about. The question was as follows. We know the first sif in Shulchan Aruch, how does it start? We say a person should be Az Kenemer, Kal Kenosher, Rotz Kitzvi, Gibor Kari. We have to be like everything. We have to be like all the animals. And we say Perek Shira to try to learn from all the animals. Now everyone says, you want me to be like a lion? A lion is the most lazy thing in the world. So once in a while it gets excited. It's not a chiddush to get, it's not a chiddush to be Miskaber Kari once a day. Big deal. Our job is to be always excited. You can't tell me Iskaber Kari, I should be like a lion. So the pshat over here, it's the pshat in that chazal, and it's also the pshat in Nasa Adam says the Rebbe Chanan. The pshat is that the whole world is a little bit of the whole world in every single one of us. And every single midah that we have comes from something in the world. There's a little bit of Yiskaber Kari. There's a little bit of Kal Kinesher. Even though those two things might be steered like each other. You can't have a lion that's Kal Kinesher. But we have a little bit of every midah. We have a little bit we have to learn from the sun, how the sun comes up every single day, and it never goes against Hashem. And we have to learn from all parts of the world. And we have that all in us. And therefore, we have the ability to do anything because every single part of the world is somewhere in us. There's nothing stopping us from reaching the top of anywhere. We have a chiyuv to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. And not only that, Zohar number 3, it's going good. The Zohar says that, and I quote maybe, not here. The Zohar says that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Shem Baruch Hu was koilel all the midas of Moshe Rabbeinu in him. Moshe Rabbeinu was what was the epitome. He went up to Shemayim. He became like a malach, right? You can't become a better person. Now, how did that? Now, what's the pshat? Because nothing ever stopped him. He was able to reach the heights of the Torah, parts of the Torah that no one ever saw. He was able to be in a cave for 12 years, like not even a person. He made himself higher than a regular man. Nothing stopped him. He used every little part of the world that Hashem gives to anyone. There were little things he gives to everyone, and he got every single part of it. Shem Baruch Hu had it. Little things. But all of it. I didn't waste anything that I had. All my potential got used. Everything that you had the ability to do, he did use. We were discussing yesterday. Potential is only a bad word. Potential is only a bad word if you're talking about that he has potential. But when you're talking about someone fulfilled his whole potential, it's a great word. Because that's that you reach the highest. Just whatever for Maimer Hamuzger. Anyways, for those that got nervous over there. Okay, so now Nasa Adam Nevam Avrecha. We're working out good. Nasa Adam Hashem created Rav Shem Baruch Hu. Was said for him because he used everything he could and he reached higher than anyone else was able to, higher than he was able to. You know why? Because he cared and he used every single last piece of Koichus that he had to do anything he wanted. Let's go back into the tapuach. Let's go back into the apple land, the orchards. The Gemara in Shabbos says, what's so special about an apple? What's so special about an apple tree? Why does it say that in Mitzrayim they gave birth to women under an apple tree? What's so good about an apple tree? The quality of the apple tree is that an apple, most trees, all trees, all fruit trees, and you'll check it out, it's probably true. The Gemara says that all fruit trees, first you have leaves, and then you have fruit. But an apple tree works the opposite. The fruit starts growing before the leaves come. Now, why are there leaves on a fruit tree? Leaves on a fruit tree come to guard the fruit from dirt, from wind, from rocks, I don't know from what, but that's the pshat and leaves on any tree. It's to guard the fruit. The main thing is the fruit, and the leaves are there to guard. An apple tree is the opposite. The apple come first. What's so special about that? The reason why an apple tree is different is because the apple understood. We don't understand. It's a Gemara in Chulin that says that all the creations were asked if they're willing to do their job before they were created. And the apple tree said, yes. I don't care. You want to make me before the leaves come? I'm fine with it. If you say I can do it without the leaves, Hashem, then I'm willing to do it. Even though most fruit need leaves to guard them, you're telling me I have the koyach to be a good, nice, geshmaka apple? If I could do it right, if I could be a geshmaka apple without the leaves, I'm willing to do it. Because you tell me I have the koyach to do it. This is trust in Hashem. And this is wanting to do what Hashem wants. So the Yisoid of Shem Vayechai, the reason why he was able to reach the heights of Soidus HaTorah and to get all kinds of things out of an apple tree is because he learned from the apple tree. And he learned the apple tree just does what Hashem wants, how Hashem wants, when Hashem wants, in order to be whatever Hashem wants me to be. And I can do it and I will do it, even though it doesn't make sense. But if that's what you tell me to do, I'm going to do that and I want to do it. How did he get there? What brought him to give him the kaychas and nefesh to trust and to do so much to be able to reach these heights? Okay, so we'll go for one last story, and this is not from the Zohar. Okay, but it's another story. How did Shem Vayechai become Shem Vayechai? How was he born? The story is as follows. His father, does anyone know Shem Vayechai's father's name? Well, what do we say? Okay. So Yochai was married to a nice lady. He was actually from Shevet Yehuda. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he was close to the government. They liked him, and he was one of the very chashuv people. He was married to someone who was a granddaughter of Hillel from the Beis Nesiim, and she was a very chashuv lady, and her name was Sarah. Okay, now Sarah was a very good lady, but they were married for many, 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 many years, and they didn't have any children. And it was very sad, and Yochai said, listen, he didn't tell Sarah yet, but he was thinking to himself that it could be that maybe we'll have to look for another wife. Maybe divorce her, maybe add another wife. Says he wasn't clear. Somehow or another, she got the wind of it, and she would fast, and she would cry, and she would daven, And she was really davening to Hashem that she gets a Yeshua, because, you know, it's not what she really wanted. Rosh Hashanah by night, back into the dreams, listen to this dream. Yochai had a dream, and in the dream he was in a fruit orchard. No, I'm sorry. He was in, wasn't a fruit, it was in a tremendous forest. In the forest, there were fruit trees, and there were trees without fruit. There were some trees that were nice trees, and some trees that were dry. He sees himself standing and leaning on a dry tree. Now, Rosh Hashanah is the time where it says that people that are supposed to have children have Yeshua, and they're able to have children. So he sees that there's a malach, a very chashuv looking malach, a scary looking malach, walking around with a basket, with a whole pail of water, like this. And every once in a while, he sees some trees that are dry, and he waters them. Some trees that are dry, he skipped over. And he keeps on coming. Then he sees the tree that Yochai is leaning on, and he comes and looks at it, and he takes a little small bottle out of his pocket, and he pours it around near the tree, and then all of a sudden it bubbles over, and there's water all around the tree, and within a few minutes there was big, beautiful, nice fruit in the tree. And then he woke up, and he told his wife the dream. And he said, listen, let me tell you about the dream. the explanation of the dream is simple. It's pashut. You know what happened? It's simple. Rosh Hashanah is a time when people are nifkad. That's when Chana was able to have a child. That's when she had her kid because of Rosh Hashanah. That's a time for a kid. It's pashut to me that what's happening is we're going to have a child this year, and we're very excited. However, there's one shaila I don't understand. Why did the other people get watered from the big barrel of water, and I only got watered, or you, who only got watered from the little bottle? So she says, good question, I like that. Maybe we'll go Matzah Shabbos, Matzah Rosh Hashanah, and we'll ask your Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva. So they asked the Rebbe, see, Yochai was also a Talmud of Rebbe Akiva. Wonder if he was from the 24,000. Shiloh. Anyways, they went and asked Yochai, and he said as follows. Let me tell you, they asked Rebbe Akiva, thank you. They went to ask Rebbe Akiva, and they said, what's pshat in the whole story? So he explained, of course, it's to have a kid, v'chula yochena. And you know what pshat in the little bottle is? The little bottle is as follows. Your wife, Sarah, she's an akara. She cannot have kids. It's impossible for her to have kids. However, you know what happened? That bottle was a bottle of her tears, from her crying, from her tefillas that she had, the daven to Hashem. And when someone cries and davens to Hashem to no end, Hashem changes the metzias, makes things happen that were not able to physically happen. He could change it from the tefillah. And that's how Shem Baruch came about. Came up from tefillah. He came up from crying. And I want to just focus on that. What is a bottle of tears? A bottle of tears is like, say this big. How do tears come out? It's one drop at a time. A little more heart, a little more meaning, a little more connection to Hashem. A little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit. That makes a whole bottle. That's the Yusad of Shem Baruch. A little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit. That makes the person. I just want to come back to what we said before, to the Maisu with Reb Yitzchak. And I want to say that the story with Reb Yitzchak, the little story, getting close to Reb Yitzchak, you see from over here the little bit that's the connection, that's a connection. You see that it changes. It changes a person. You can't expect to reach Reb Shimon bar Yochai any other way. That is Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Since Reb Shimon bar Yochai himself is a person who does a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and that he gets further than he's supposed to be, in order to connect to Reb Shimon bar Yochai, those of us who plan on going to daven and connecting to Reb Shimon bar Yochai, we could daven for things further than we expect that we can really get. And that's what we have to do. It might not make sense to daven for this, but do you really want it? Then we can daven for it. A little further, a little above our expectations, and we can get there, and we will get there, because we have untold potential. I like that word.